morning again, everybody. I'm Pastor Jay, Pastor Jeremiah, and I'm very honored to introduce the preacher for today, Marcelo. Marcella and Roanne have been part of us for quite some time now, and they are great servants. How many teams are you on, Marcelo?
I think three.
Three teams, wow. Plus preaching now. And we, with Pastor Victor, we have a thing called Preacher's Cohort, where we train up new preachers with the hopes of developing their gifts, encouraging them, and also just being part of the ministry God is doing with the hopes of planting new churches in Edmonton by God's grace. And Marcelo and Roanne, they've been part of our community. They're also part of our house church, Abraham and Hikari's. And they are just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful servants of God. And we're so honored they're here today. And we're going to kind of introduce Marcelo with Jonah in the series, Discovering the Depths of God. He'll get into that. And before we do that, let's just say a blessing over him. And if you feel comfortable, put your right hand out as a sign of love and respect. Lord, please bless Marcelo. May his words be your words. May your Holy Spirit fill him from the top of his head to his toes. And may you use him as an instrument of your glory today for his good, for our edification, and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so I'd like to start by introducing a little bit about myself and tell you guys a little story about where I come from. I'm from Brazil, as some of you may know and some of others may not. And one thing that I grew up with was the rivalry we have with Argentina. Now, I'm not going to offend anyone that is from Argentina. If there's anyone here, that's not what I'm trying to do. But growing up, I've always heard this story about how in the cup, I think it was 82 or 80, somewhere in the 80s. I don't even know when, because I was not even born. Maradona, Diego Maradona, their best player ever. You know, the player that they compared to Pelé to make themselves feel better. Scored a goal with his hand and took us out of the cup. And they ended up winning that cup. And I've grown up with this feeling that they did not deserve that cup, but we did. Right? And they even have signs sometimes when they play us. La mano de Dios, the hand of God, because they know that the goal was scored using his hand. But I also wanted to ask everyone, if you have, for those of you who are Christian, if you have ever witnessed someone speaking badly of the gospel, like blaspheming the name of Jesus, speaking lies about the Bible and the name of God, and I want you to think of how that made you feel, the sense of, you know, these negative feelings that come when we experience that. We feel like not even, you know, trying to save that person anymore. If there's anyone here who is not a Christian, I want you to think of a time where you've experienced someone wrong you, or someone was talking about something that you loved and that you know a lot about, and they were just completely butchering it and being so wrong, and how that made you feel about that person. The reason I bring this up is because last Sunday, and through this series, Discovering the Depths of God's Mercy, we learned about Jonah's running away from God and God's rescuing Jonah. Today, I want to look into and focus on why Jonah ran away in the first place and how God handled that, how the Holy Spirit tamed Jonah, and what happened after he ran away and after he repented and got rescued by God. So for those of you joining via live stream, you can keep up with the scripture on the screen, and there's also sermon outlines for anyone who wants to follow along a little closer and fill in the blanks of some of the sentences that I brought up today and developed today for this sermon. And the scripture today is Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. And let's receive the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. Before we start, let's head into prayer and just let these words sink in to our hearts and ears. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here this morning, Lord. Thank you for bringing your church together, Lord. Lord, I pray that over each and every person in this church today, that you would open up our hearts, open up our ears, and break down our pride, that we may listen to your word, Lord, that you may speak to each and every one of us, Lord, the message that you intended for us to hear, Lord, that you may use every word that comes out of my lips, every thought that comes into my head, Lord, that you may use it for your glory, and that your people may be blessed, and that your name may be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to start by showing you guys the theme and goal and the reason that I was bringing up those stories and making you think of those people that hurt you. And our theme and goal is God's mercy is unconditional, and he redeems Jonah and the Ninevites. Now, this is a trait of God's character that most of us should be pretty familiar with. God redeemed those who don't deserve to be redeemed. Me and you, who are sinners, who have fallen short of God's grace, and he yet sent Jesus and redeemed us. Now, Jonah was, some can say, even closer to God than we could have been, because back then, he was a prophet, he was in close contact, direct contact with God. So it's safe to say that Jonah knew who God was, and Jonah knew God's character. He knew how God acted. In the book, in this verse that we read Jonah 3, chapter, verse 4, which says, Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And then right after in verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. So all this to say that Jonah knew that God intended to save the Ninevites. Jonah knew that God's root intention was for the Ninevites to believe his proclamation and turn away from their violence, turn away from their sin. The word that God actually said, told Jonah to use, overthrown, in Hebrew, is this word, hapak. And it means to overturn, to change, to transform, to overthrow. So Jonah had a little bit more insight, even, than we do, just knowing God's character, that God's intention was to redeem the city of Nineveh. So now, yeah, we know that God wanted to redeem Nineveh, and Jonah knew that God wanted to redeem Nineveh. But the question that we're here to discuss today is, why did Jonah not want the Ninevites to be redeemed? He knew his God. He knew that God's loving was merciful and unconditional and didn't depend on our works. Yet Jonah did not want the people of Nineveh, the Ninevites, to receive this salvation, to receive this mercy. Now, to give you a little context on the city of Nineveh, it was the capital of the empire of Assyria, which was one of the biggest and most violent empires at the time. And as the capital, it was the biggest city, so much so that the text highlighted it would take 3 days to go through the whole city. Nineveh was known for violence. There's descriptions of the acts of violence that they committed and its overall sinfulness. And it was headed for a fate similar to Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that got destroyed by God with fire raining down from the sky and just overall destruction. So God was indeed threatening the city in order to make them repent, because they were indeed, in the eyes of God, a wicked city. Jonah actually had pretty good reasoning for not wanting the Ninevites to receive the grace of God. Because as a man of God, he saw their sin, he saw their wickedness, and this feeling just built up in him. Now, what feeling is this that we're talking about? This feeling is described in the Bible as self-righteousness. And the best description I could find for self-righteousness to help us all understand and grasp what Jonah was feeling is that self-righteousness is nothing but a sense of being better than others. So like me, when I was growing up, thinking that Argentina did not deserve that cup and that we are better than them, Jonah was also feeling like he's better than all these Ninevites and all these people who don't belong in God's kingdom and don't deserve God's salvation. Now, even though Jonah felt so strongly about the Ninevites and about not wanting them to be saved, God still saved them. So despite Jonah's unwillingness to go, despite his desire for them to be destroyed, the Holy Spirit was still able to work through him and redeem those people. He was still able to fulfill God's purpose for those people. As I mentioned earlier, God's character, he reaches for those who he wants to save. And even through someone who doesn't want to be used by God, it cannot stop God's will from taking place. God is so much bigger than that. When we go back and look at the text again, the reaction of the Ninevites is that even the king, the most noble man in that city, in their eyes, the man who had the most reason to also feel self-righteousness against the God of Jonah, he not only repented, but he took off his clothing, his fancy, comfortable clothing, and he put on sackcloth, sat down in the dust, and told the whole city to do the same. Told the whole city to humiliate themselves and bow themselves before God and to fast, to not eat, to not drink. And his final thought to conclude this decree was verse 9, who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger that we will not perish. So even a wicked man like the king of Nineveh knew who God was and what he was capable of doing. This brings us to my first main point of this passage, which is that God's mercy, God's deep mercy that we have been studying and hearing about, is dependent on God's righteousness and not on any of our self-righteousness. God's mercy that redeems and saves people, it can't be stopped by the gate of our self-righteousness against or towards the people who wrong us or towards the people who, for some reason, cause us to feel this way. Now, another clear and very tangible example of this feeling of self-righteousness and these actions and how this may look in real life and in application are the Pharisees in the Bible, who are found throughout the New Testament. And one passage in particular stuck out to me, which is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 32. Let's hear the word. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and the large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees, the self-righteous people, the self-righteous characters of that time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" As in, these people don't deserve to sit with you, to eat with you, to share a moment with you, to even be near you. But they thought they did, right? That's the implication. Jesus answers them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord. Now back to our theme and goal. God's mercy is unconditional, and he redeems the Pharisees and the tax collectors. He redeems all of those, surpassing our self-righteousness or sense of who deserves and doesn't deserve to be saved. Now, the self-righteousness, like the Pharisees, they were teachers of the Bible. They were experts in the law. So they also had some good reasoning to feel the way they felt about these tax collectors and these sinners who were known to be wicked men and to hurt the name of God and to do things that displeased God and disobeyed the law. Yet Jesus' response to them is a reflection of God's character, that he did not come to save those who don't need salvation, but those who do, those who are sinners, those who are fallen and are far away from God. He came to give us a way, give those away, go those people away to be closer to God and to reach those people to God, for God. Another thing we learned last week about Jonah is that he spent 3 days in the belly of a big fish in the depths of the ocean, and that like Jesus, who spent 3 days in the depths of death under the gates of hell, he was saved by God, rescued by God, reached out to by God, and brought back. Now, the main difference between Jonah and Jesus is that when Jonah was sent to save a people who did not deserve, a big community, a crowd of people who did not deserve to be saved, after also being rescued, after 3 days in the depths, Jonah did not want to do it. Now, Jesus was sent to be saved, spent 3 days in the depths, and like the Ninevites, a people who did not deserve to be saved, you and me, sinners, Jews, Gentiles, all the people of the earth, Jesus fulfilled that purpose perfectly, ultimately. It's like Jonah's story is a slight foreshadowing of Jesus' coming, but with an imperfect, flawed man who is struggling through it with his own sins and his own flaws, while Jesus shows us how it would look if it was perfect, how it would look if God himself came down and gave us his love and his unconditional mercy and saved us from the depths of sin and our own fallenness and our own wickedness. Now, this brings us to my second main point, which is that God's mercy goes deeper than our understanding, and he will reach those who he wants to reach. This is really hard to get our head around, right? This mercy, this love that goes beyond anything we may ever do and that can never be earned by our own means. It's really easy to feel like Jonah after we've been saved, after we know the truth, and not understand how God could save some of these people, how God can still want to reach some of these people, some of the people who wrong us, some of the people who blaspheme against his name, some of the people who hate God in their heart, yet God still wants to reach out and has mercy that overlooks all that, pays their debt, pays the price for their salvation. Jesus was truly righteous, while Jonah was only self-righteous. Jesus' righteousness and God's righteousness are what allow him to truly save us, even though we don't deserve grace. We are like the Ninevites in the eyes of Jesus. You and me, all of us here, all of us but Jesus that came to this earth are just like the Ninevites were. We all have our own flaws and sins. We have all fallen short of God's grace. Yet God sends the perfect Jonah, the perfect version of Jonah, who will not only obey and come and save us and give us his word, but do so lovingly and caringly and mercifully. Now, there's not many other things we can conclude from this, but the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. Like Jesus was sent for us to not perish, the people of Nineveh also hoped that God would turn from his fierce anger so that they would not perish. We all fall short of this grace of God. We would all perish without it. But yet, we still can catch ourselves feeling like someone in our life, someone around us, may not deserve this grace or may not deserve for us to go and reach out for them. And what I want us to go home with, if anything, out of this message, is the idea caught in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, that Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And to remember our theme and goal, that God's mercy is unconditional, and he redeems you and me, just like Jonah and the Ninevites. And like you and someone else in your life that may be hard to love or may be hard to preach to, that we may think this person maybe hates God, doesn't want to be saved, has a really resistant character, a really hardened heart. God still wants to reach you, reach them. And it might be through you. He might still use you through your self-righteousness, because your self-righteousness doesn't operate God's mercy. His righteousness does. The application I want us to go home with also is that we cannot do that because of our own means. We will not make the decision today to love those who we may feel better than, who we may feel self-righteous towards. We cannot change that on our own, and we cannot save these people on our own just because we want to be saved, just because we now realize that they also are targets of God's mercy and salvation. So I want us to embrace the Holy Spirit's calling to humble ourselves and share the gospel to those people who we see that God wants to reach. What I think of is allowing ourselves to use this self-righteousness that we may be able to identify better, and is what I hope to, you know, leave you guys with. As we identify our self-righteousness better, let it be a reminder that we do have the Holy Spirit of God, that despite that feeling that we may have felt, can still reach those people if we obey, and can still help us obey, because the Holy Spirit continues to transform each and every one of us as we walk, as we get closer to God, and it will allow us to obey the Lord and preach the message to those who, even to those who we don't want to preach to, or who we don't feel like preaching to, who we don't feel like sharing the good news with. And this doesn't have to be just explicitly sharing and speaking words to these people about God. Sometimes sharing the love of God to people may be enough to show them about our God, to show them parts of our God that they had never known. That may be enough to pique their interest and start their journey of salvation. So I urge us to embrace this Holy Spirit that lives within us and extend God's grace and God's mercy that was given to us first to these people who also don't deserve it, like us, don't deserve it, and who are also in need of this mercy, who also have sinned and have their own sins and also need to believe that the unconditional mercy of God will still reach them and can still save them. I want to close in prayer and invite the worship team to come back up, and just remind us all to love our neighbors and love those who have wronged us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this time of reflection and learning of your word, Lord. Lord, I thank you for using me and giving me strength and courage to come here and speak of your word, Lord, and speak of your doctrines, Lord, and of the things that you want us to hear, Lord. Lord, I pray that each person here thought of someone in their life who needs our salvation, Lord. Thought of someone in their life who they may have neglected, Lord, who they may have thought as too far from grace, too far gone from your salvation, Lord, too out of reach for you, Lord, that we may be reminded, Lord, that you will reach all of those who you want to reach, even if we are in the depths, in the lowest points, Lord, that you will save us, Lord. Even if the distance between you and this person is greater than we can imagine or understand, Lord, your mercy is even deeper, Lord. It goes even deeper, Lord, to reach these people, save and redeem these people, Lord. Lord, I pray that we may be able to identify our self-righteousness and that we may be able to remind ourselves that your righteousness is what allows us to reach these people, even when we can't stop our feelings, Lord, and our sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.